incredible privilege of hearing from Robert Katende. Robert is a remarkable man who's been blessed in so many ways. He will be bringing the Word of God to us. He is the International Director of Sports Outreach Institute, which is a ministry we have partnered with for over 15 years. They have a presence in 7 different countries across the world, and their mission is to recruit, train, and deploy committed Christian leaders to share the gospel and to alleviate human suffering. And the human suffering part, they are in the poorest of the poor, slums of Nairobi and Kampala. They're serving in Ometepec, Mexico, another place that we go and send mission teams to. Robert's life is a testament of resilience and hope. He has overcome incredible obstacles by God's grace, and he earned a degree in engineering, and despite that, the Lord led him into ministry. He also was an amazing soccer player, and his trajectory was to be on the Ugandan national team, and he turned aside from that pursuit because he was called into ministry, which is a phenomenal thing. In a country where we love sports so much that we bow down at the idol of sports, he turned away from that path. And he went into this incredible career where the Lord has used him over and over. Robert uses sports, specifically soccer and chess, as a vehicle for transformation and for sharing the gospel. He trains and mentors young individuals, not just in athletics, but also in all kinds of things, programs in education and in fulfilling basic needs that many of the families that Sports Outreach ministers to, they need food. And so basic needs they help to provide. And if you haven't seen this movie, his impact and the impact of Sports Outreach is beautifully illustrated in, of all things, a Disney movie. In 2016, The Queen of Katwe came out. It's a phenomenal film. Really encourage you to watch it. It highlights the work of Fiona Mutesi, who was a girl who grew up in the slums, who met Robert and then became a chess champion. And then in 2019, Robert published and wrote his own book called A Knight Without a Castle, which recounts some of the tremendous difficulties he has faced and by God's grace overcome. Under Robert's leadership, Sports Outreach has grown significantly. They employ over 70 staff worldwide, and they reach thousands of people every year. This is a picture of Robert and his family. He's been married to his beautiful wife, Sarah, for 14 years. They have 3 daughters, Mercy, Hope, and Grace, who are 13, 11, and 9. Now, you see 5 children up there. That's because their niece, Trina, who's 12, and their nephew, Tim, also live with them and have for many years, and he and Sarah have helped raise them, and they always have kids coming in and out of their home. So it's not just a 9-to-5. It is an entire life of ministry. So we rejoice that Robert is with us this morning. I am going to read the Word of God, and then we will hear the Word preached. If you would open up your bulletin, you'll find the passage. It's Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, as we continue on in our series, The Third Person on the Holy Spirit. Hear now God's Word. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah, it's good for me to be here, and good morning. Yeah, what an honor for me to be able to share and fellowship with New Albany Fellow Church here. And for you, I want also to bring you greetings from my family and from Sports Outreach in general for your long time of partnership with this ministry. Yeah, I was sharing after this morning service when Pastor David came to Uganda, and I know most of you here, you don't know that he's a goalie when it comes to soccer. But he did incredible work there at the time he was in there. Yeah, what an honor for me to be here to share with us this morning. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is really key when it comes to us as Christians. And as we've read in the passage, when I was told I'm going to be sharing with us, I asked myself, what should I really be able to focus on? But I realized that it had to be more of a commitment we need to make and challenge ourselves to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us as individuals. And I felt that one of the key elements that we need to take on this as an obligation. In fact, verse 12 starts by saying we are debtors. And other verses say it's an obligation we need to take on to die to the sinful nature of our flesh and allow to live by the Spirit of God. The question here I really wanted to pose to us is, are we willing to embrace the Holy Spirit? It is very easy to say I'm a Christian, but do we walk according to the Spirit? Do we allow the Holy Spirit to come and work through and in us? Because we need to embrace the third person always to be able to work in and through us. That's why I say it starts with us as individuals. You may be a son of a preacher, you may be a son of a pastor, but that doesn't count. It is a personal responsibility. Salvation is taken on individually. And you should be ready and willing to allow God to work in and through you. The question is, are we ready? Are we willing to avail ourselves? That is very, very important, and we have the will to make that. I remember personally how I came to commit my life entirely to God. During my high school, I grew up with all the struggles, just like Pastor David shared, some of you who have read the book Queen of Katwe and others who have watched the movie, you'll get to see the kind of childhood life I led as an orphan, craving for an opportunity to always have a sense of belonging, looking for what to eat. It wasn't an easy journey. And sports became my kind of connection. Like whenever I was on the field of play, I felt like I could conquer the world. And by the way, with all my skills, I played for like almost close to 14 years. I was playing bare feet. I could not afford cleats. But I was always able to really make my talent flourish, and everyone was wondering, how does he do that? I had developed a skill where I could be able to put the ball on my feet and flip it over anyone, and that was always my killer. And most of the defenders were saying, how does he do that? And they ended up nicknaming me Spoon, meaning like his feet is like, the foot is like a spoon. He can just scoop the ball and put it anywhere he wants to put it. And this one day, some of these are friends of mine. I've made so many friends through soccer because like, oh, your schoolmates want you, like the team is reading, oh, we have that guy. They would sing your name. And to my close friends, I would even tell them, hey, tomorrow's match, I'm going to score for you a goal. And everyone like, really? Okay. And then I get there, I had my pace. That was my weapon. Like I put the ball in the space, you can't get to it before me. So I would score the goal, come to them, hey, that is yours. And then we celebrate together. So some of them say, hey, Robert, you are so talented. God has gifted you. You are so good in our academics. You are so good in soccer. You are so blessed. I wish you could give your life to Christ and use these gifts for his glory. I said, that's a good thing. I will get saved when I grow up. Because I thought I was still young. No need for me to grow up. I'm still young. And then this one evening, I was in the field. We were playing soccer. Still, I had to use my skills as always. So I got the ball. It was 50-50 in the air. Went in. And I knew the keeper wanted to get to the ball before me, but because of my pace, I was able to be there in microseconds. And I headed the ball in the net. Unfortunately, he found my head in the process. And instead of hitting the ball, he hit my head with both fists. And then I ended up landing badly on the ground with the head first. That is when I lost all what was going on. I became unconscious for 12 hours. I was just told what happened thereafter. They told me, they picked me from the pitch, they took me to the nearby hospital, and they could not manage my situation. They had to do me a referral. They took me to the National Referral Hospital, and I woke up the following day. Then I realized I was in a space which I didn't know. I looked at the ceiling and said, wait a minute, we don't have this setting in our school. Where am I? So I tried to sit to ask what was going on. Then my lower jaw fell on my chest. I had shattered my lower jaw with multiple fractures. It was hard, and there was no school that day. Most of my friends came to visit, to check on me. And among them, one of the girls asked me, Robert, are you still alive? We thank God for your life. You were picked from the field yesterday when you're dead. Then she asked me a question which was my turning point and said, Robert, if you had died, where would you have gone? I had never thought of dying from a soccer field, doing something that I loved most. And that's when I gave my life to Christ, because I wanted to be part of the eternity. And since then, I started walking according to the scriptures and praying. I actually prayed because I got a sick leave for almost 1 year. And I had to pray, God, if you allow me to go back on the soccer field, I'll play for you. And the doctors had told me you'll never play again. But I want to tell you, 15 months later, I found myself kicking the ball again. And that's when I ended up connecting to Sports Outreach as a student. I started playing for Miracle Football Club, where I met my mentor and pastor, Aloysius. And then I ended up joining the Good News, a team I've been playing for almost 19 years, scoring goals for God. Because it does not play in competitive leagues, we play soccer outreach games for the gospel, to evangelize and preach the word of God, which has been a blessing for me to see. And the question here I have for us all is, when we embrace the Holy Spirit and you allow him to work in us, he will help us to guide and lead us to eternity. As the scriptures say, if we follow the flesh, we are going to die. If we allow to be led by the Spirit of God, we will live. And I don't want to miss that. That's the reason why I gave my life to Christ in the first place. And I had no clue what God was preparing me for. In fact, later on it resonated to me that perhaps God allowed this accident to happen to me, because this is the only way he would get me, because I felt like I could do everything on my own, until he told me, no, you are nothing. Without me, you can't do anything. But when I embraced God, I've seen a lot God has done in my life. Sometimes when I travel to places, people think I'm special. Honestly, I'm not. But I know I serve a special God who has been able to work in and through me to do all that has been able to be done. Many times, oh, he has a movie about him, he has written these books, he's transforming these lives. No, all I did was to avail myself. And I have seen the power of God at work in me. If you are to glorify God for changed lives, I'm one of those changed lives. I have seen the power of God at work to date. And I just look back and say, wait a minute, why did this happen? This was all God at work in me without me even knowing. And even embracing to do chess, it's not something which I could actually know that it will do what it's been able to do. The passage is talking about us becoming sons of God. Sometimes as human beings we say, how would we connect? How do we get in there? And this adoption, the word adoption is really key because we even do this when we adopt children. And I see when I read this passage, for me, actually this passage serves as a seal or a stamp. Like when you go to process the legal papers, you want to adopt a child, they may be invalid, but what makes them valid is when you get the stamp in. You get the seal. You say, wow. And that means this child, he now has the privileges, she now has the privileges, she has all the rights in your affairs because you have adopted this child. So God has reconciled us to him through Christ Jesus. So we are his sons. We take on his identity. We cannot look for our identity anywhere else right now because we've been adopted into God's kingdom through Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Many times people don't know what the Holy Spirit can do. And actually the truth is we will never know where the Holy Spirit is leading us. Even me, I have seen the power of God at work in our ministry as sports outreach. But I just look back and I say, wait a minute. This and this and this happened because of this. Sometimes we want to have the master plan. How will it be? How this will be? It's hard. We just have to avail ourselves and we walk a journey of faith, allowing the Spirit to lead us. Many times when it comes to this, logic and reasoning doesn't apply. But the conviction and the burden God puts in your heart. How many times have we refrained from this calling? And I know many of us, even the youth, there's no age. God calls you at any age. And when he puts that burden in your heart, I don't know whether you've ever felt like you should have done something. And then maybe you feel like, no, when I reason this out and I try to think about it, I don't think it makes any sense. And you go, but you feel something very, very heavy in your heart. And you feel conviction, I wish I had done something. I wish I had really done something. Like it deprives you of any peace because you did not take that step. That's why I say we need to allow God to lead us. Sometimes things don't make sense. For me, with my engineering degree, I had no clue that God will ever do a movie about our impact of the ministry. And when I picked my chessboard, put it in my backpack, went to the slums, it looked awkward. Actually, the truth is, I was not planning to be there for even 2 years. I wanted to be there as I look for an opportunity for my job because I was making these applications in different places. And I was waiting. Many times they would even invite me for interviews. And then you go there and the guys look at your paper and say, wow. Actually, you seem to be overqualified for this job. I said, then you should just give me. They said, no. And sometimes I realized that even some of the people could deny you the opportunity because your papers kind of proved a threat to them. I said, wait a minute. This guy scored like this? No, I can't risk my job. If I bring him in, I threaten my position. So they said, no, not because you don't qualify. Later on, I realized that it wasn't real good for me to be frustrated with all that. It was all part of God's plan. But by then I could not understand that. But God worked in ways which I could not in any way understand, through a chessboard. In fact, one time they called me. Some of you have watched the movie, you might have seen that. They called me to go for a job opportunity. But like God had already kind of grounded me. I grew up without a family. And I had identified myself with these slum kids. Like, I felt like I had a family. I had some people to be with. I had someone I had to, like, I was asking myself, if I leave, I will leave them for who? Whenever I thought about it, I felt like I was having no peace inside me. I had that unrest inside. And the Holy Spirit was convicting me, hanging there, and waiting for the Lord. hanging there. And God was doing work which I had no clue about. It wasn't easy. It's not an easy walk. But you know when you get in and you feel like you have that inner peace of doing, no matter how hard it might be. Other people say, how do you do that? It's so hard. But God is enabling you through the Holy Spirit to hang in there. And before I realized, I started seeing tremendous transformation. Many men of the youth coming to the Lord. God opening up doors for them. And then Disney saying, wow, this is amazing for us. Even a secular company coming to the slums of Kakwe to share the impact out to the world. How can you explain that? Sometimes people ask me, hey, how did you go to Disney? How did you connect there? Excuse me. Disney came to us. I didn't even know what it was. I had no clue that Disney does this because, in fact, that's when I got to know about visiting Mickey Mouse, what. I had never heard of them because I didn't watch those episodes when I was growing up. I had no clue whatsoever. But God knew what he was doing through a simple platform if you obey. And it comes back to me later on and say, wait a minute. All along, God was on a bigger plan, bigger than what I could ever think. Right now, thousands of children are being impacted through sports ministry. And many of them are coming to the Lord because we obeyed to allow God to work through us. So in God's kingdom, it gives us all these privileges as children of God. The question is, when we join, do we embrace the Holy Spirit and do we allow him to work in us as citizens of the kingdom? This passage we've just read today, it gives us a sense of belonging that we now belong in the kingdom of God. It's like adopting a child. That child comes in. It's upon that child to actually believe that actually I now belong here. I do believe some of you have been in this process, or some of you were adopted. It took you a while. You say, am I like, it's like I don't belong. I don't even identify with these people. That is when you look at things. But according to God, we now belong to his kingdom. Because we've allowed God and we have accepted Christ through the Holy Spirit to lead us to connect to the sovereignty of the God. The third person we talk about, when I was reading this scripture, I was asking myself, but do we really truly understand who the third person is when you talk of the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes some people actually don't even embrace him, but he's there with us. And Christ actually promised him that when I go back, my Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. When you look at the American Standard Version, it calls him the Comforter. But the Amplified Version even tries to bring in more other segments. You get it? He's actually the Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Teacher. He teaches us. So that means everything we want to do, we need to embrace the Holy Spirit. We need to allow him to lead us. And the beauty of this all is that he will never show you where you're heading. I've made many decisions, and I had no clue about them. Let me just share one small story which really transformed my life. In the slums, most people crave for a meal. They don't have the food. So we have a feeding program in all our centers. And one day, one young girl, she was called Joy. She came and said, Coach, we've been coming here, but the meal we eat at the center is enough for the whole time until we come back the following day. And she had her siblings who were staying with her. They had no food. So sometimes she would carry some food to them. I asked, where is your mom? She said, mom left our home. It's now 3 days. We don't know where she is. In our policy, this is where I say that it's good to allow God to lead. In our policy as a ministry, we don't give out food to people because we cannot have enough. We also manage it well. We only feed those kids who have come. But I had to break the protocol for this one time. I told her, okay, Joanne, go to the store, pick 3 kilograms of beans and pick 5 kilograms of maize flour. Take home and cook for your siblings as we see what happened to your mom. Now, later on, I had the mom came that same night. She had bought poison to take her life and the life of her kids because she could not feed them. But when she came home, she found food. And she changed and abandoned her plan of killing herself and the kids. She came to me a week later to confess this. And I looked back and said, oh, thank God I broke the policy. Because I felt the burden in me and I said, okay, no matter the policy, you take some food and cook it. And it saved their life. As I share now, I received a note last week. One of her siblings graduated in college, and she sent me a note. That's almost like 12 years later. And you can see the power of God at work, even in ways we don't understand. I had no clue that me allowing them to take food, it was going to save their lives as a family. But I look back and say, wait a minute, it's the Holy Spirit that enabled me to do this. Otherwise, I had no clue about what was actually happening. So, this leads me to the attributes. After seeing the attributes, that as we embrace the Holy Spirit, we all know that the Holy Spirit gives us the gifts. Some people actually are called fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, I use this as a yardstick. When you read about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, because we are supposed to bear these fruits. So use this as a yardstick and check yourself. Where do I fall? Maybe 1 to 10 when it comes to joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. I know we were talking in the first service about self-control. I didn't know that even here people have the drive rage like we do in our place. In our place is serious. In fact, my senior pastor was telling me one time that, Robert, even our board of directors, called Mr. Fred, actually told me, Robert, there's nothing challenges my faith like driving in Kampala. Because I end up so much anger. The people don't know what they are doing on the road. But many times we find ourselves in these questions. So using this as a yardstick, how many times do you go out of your way? And you go back and say, wait a minute, I think I went overboard. And then we need to have the boldness to go back and say, hey, I think I wronged you here. Because the Holy Spirit will convict us in that way. We know when we do wrong. In fact, I always tell people, there are 3 people you can't deceive. You cannot lie to the devil. The devil knows whatever you do. You can't lie to God. You cannot even lie to yourself. Now, if you know everything, who do you follow? The devil of God or God? So you go get the conviction and say, okay, no, let me go back for sure. I did not portray Christ in this way. I need to go and let these people know. I need to go and tell this person. Sometimes if we do not keep ourselves to the line, it may be even so hard for you to find that person again. The question is, as a believer, as a Christian led by the Holy Spirit, what message did you pass on to that person? We should be able to allow God to be seen through and in us. The way we live, the way we do our businesses, the way we manage our relationships, the way we conduct ourselves. It should be able to portray the image of God so that we can draw more people to Christ. Understanding of God, you can't do that unless you have embraced the Holy Spirit. It gives you the understanding and the mysteries of salvation. Otherwise, just reading the scripture, it may make no meaning to you. I have my cousin sister, one time she was challenging me. She was born in a Muslim family because my uncle, where I stayed for almost 7 years, was a Muslim and my mom was a Christian. You can imagine the combination. And then, thank God that right now all the children are Christians. They followed their mom. But one of them was asking me, she's my, I love that cousin sister so much. She's my prayer warrior. She's called Anila. And she asked me, Robert, the scripture is the same. Every time you read the same scripture, year in, year out. But doesn't it become monotonous? I told her, no. The Holy Spirit reveals to you different mysteries whenever you read the scripture. You can read it this year, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you a different message from what you read last year. Then the direction. We cannot know the direction. Like I told you, sometimes we just have to avail ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. In fact, when it comes to faith, reasoning and logic has no place. It goes way beyond that. Because you will do things that you never even know what they will lead to. But God has a journey and a purpose for all that. For me, I look at what I've been able to do. Many times I got so much affected. In fact, I was always asking, did I do right? But I was allowed to have the peace of mind. Robert, how dare you put your engineering training to waste? And then I could also go back and say, for sure I struggled. For sure I suffered. How did I get there? Why don't I do this? But I thank God that I did not cross the line. I had to hang in there. And it seemed like it was a wastage of time and energy. But when I see some of these kids who are now graduating, in fact, when we got some of the kids we started sponsoring in 2006, they graduated. That's when it all came back to me. And the Holy Spirit was convicting me that, you see, it was not about you. That's when I got a revelation that God enabling me to struggle all the way through my education wasn't for me. It was simply to show me the way so that I can be able to lead others there. And when I received even this note last week, three of the girls from Katwe graduating. This is a community where girls get pregnant at the age of 12 and 13. These are graduating when they are 26, 24, 25. What a journey. And I can just look back and say, wow, I didn't know that God was having a bigger plan for all this than what I ever expected. So even me going through all that hardship, it was not that I needed to make much, but God wanted to have. Right now I celebrate over 40 degrees through my 1 degree. Because I just know the way, I know how I can be able to lead many others there. And there are many in the pipeline going there. Some of them just say, Coach, you made it through all this struggle, I can also make it. And that becomes their weapon to hang on as they pursue all this. So following Christ, definitely, the Holy Spirit helps and guides us as we follow Christ. I want to finish by looking at this as an action point, just to challenge each one of us. I challenge each one of us to do what you know God wants you to do, yielding to the Spirit and not to the flesh, obeying the part that wants what God wants, not to the part that wants to sin. The beauty of this is that we know what is good and we know what is bad. We know what sin is. But we choose sometimes otherwise. As Paul said, that I know what needs to be done, but I find it not doing it. The question is, are we ready to take on that path? Even when it doesn't make sense. One of the pointers for me I take on is the conviction. When I'm back home and I'm praying, God will make this clear to you. He will place a burden in you and say, oh, sometimes we have this fear. How will it be? How will I survive? How will this happen? I had that fear too. But I've come to realize that we can never and never know how God works. It's until we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, all we need to do is to obey. to avail ourselves, and then he will do the work in and through us by us embracing the Holy Spirit. This is key and fundamental in our Christian journey as believers. Thank you very much for having me here to share today. I'm so much honored. Thank you.
A couple things that really struck me as Robert preached the first service and this one. One, that was a little bit different than the first service. If you think about when Robert was in the hospital, would he have come to know Christ if someone had not gone and said, look, God saved your life. He saved your life for a purpose. And for us, there are people out there who we are called and commanded to share the great news of the gospel. If we don't convert people, that's up to God. God is sovereign, but he can use even people like us. And that's a great word. And then the other thing was the way that you went by faith, not knowing the outcome. It's not like you planned in your 10-year vision, Disney's going to approach us and we're going to do a movie. That didn't happen that way. You just trusted the Lord, and then these opportunities came. And when you're faithful in little, then God gives you more. And so rejoice in that. We're going to pray for Robert. So if you would lift up a hand, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and specifically, Holy Spirit, what you have done, continue to do in Robert Katende. Thank you for him coaching young people who have so little and who have no hope, and giving the hope of the gospel to these young people. We pray that that work would continue, and that you would give blessing to him and to all of the staff of Sports Outreach as they serve among the poorest of the poor. Would you bless this ministry as the gospel goes forward, and would more and more kids come to know you and then come to live lives where they can actually provide and have families of their own, and be able to provide for their families and to build their lives on you. Can put your hands down now. And Lord, we also ask that we would be faithful in understanding where you are leading us, Holy Spirit, so that we would be, just as Robert challenged us, so that we would obey the Spirit. And there are times when we don't know what we should do, and that's pretty normal in the Christian life, but there are also times when you do guide us and when your word is very clear. And so in those moments, would you help us be obedient? We all fall short. We all are disobedient. And in those moments, would you convict us of our sin and weigh down heavily upon us so that we do repent and turn and go back on the path of following you, Jesus, as your Spirit leads. We all have things on our hearts, burdens that we are carrying. In the silence, we lift them up to you right now. Thank you for hearing us, Father, and now we pray according to how Jesus taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Know this, as you go, the God of the universe, he's real, he's personal, he loves you, and he is working in and around you. And if you have strayed, then you have the opportunity to come back, to reject the path of death, to come back on the path of life, because he's a gracious and kind and merciful God. And if you are walking in step with the Spirit, then continue to do that this week, that you might shine the light and the love of Christ to the world. Please lift up your hands and receive this blessing. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always.